So today is Sunday, December 17th, 2017. This is part one or volume one of the gifts of the Spirit. And Brother John has already started the Book of Acts series. And when I was praying about what to teach, this is really what came upon my heart to teach. And so, and since Brother John's reading from the Book of Acts, why don't we turn there real quick to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Brother Daniel McGlone, if you would read that to us, read that for us.
Sure.
Loudly so the recorder can pick you up, please. Acts 1, 8. 1, 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. So we receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And we receive it. And Jesus told them to wait in the upper room. And of course, that's not really what we're talking about today, but I just wanted to touch base on that real quick. And like I said, for the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking at the gifts of the Spirit and the operations thereof. I thought this to be very important teaching to do because of all the division that this subject brings into the body of Christ. I make this statement very clear. I am not a cessationalist. In other words, I do not believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased, as some do today. From the charismatic movement of people falling on the floor and rolling around and barking like dogs to the cessationalists, there is a good balance that we get right from the Scripture itself. And so there is proper order. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, you don't have to go there. It says, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40. And Romans 11:29, if you could just write that down, it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. One thing we want to be careful I'm not saying that God doesn't, you don't lose things if you lose, because we know we can lose our salvation. Because if you go up to Romans 11:22, it says, you must continue in His goodness or you'll be cut off. So I make that statement clear as well. But the Lord, Jesus hasn't changed the fact that He has given us these gifts and the operations. He's given us order, that everything would be done in decent and in order. And we've gone over the fact that Jesus said that He would send the Holy Ghost to reprove of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John chapter 16. Verses 7 and 8, Brother Daniel Rusk, would you please read that to us? Read that for us.
Sorry, I was writing. What was the verse again?
John 16, verses 7 through 8. I will slow down. Sorry.
No,
going a little too fast.
7 and 8?
Yes, sir. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 8.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Right. And Brother Josh Gruguska, Brother John McGlone, would you please go read from John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18? That's John 14, verses 16 through 18. And Brother Seth, if you would go to John 14, same chapter, and you're going to read verses 25 through 26. It's John 14, 25 through 26. Brother John, when you're ready.
You said 16 through 18, brother?
Yes, sir.
And 25 through 26 for Seth, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so John 14, starting in verse 16. Jesus is speaking red letters, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, and he dwells within you, with you, and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you.
Right. So we notice here it says that the world cannot receive. Now you remember, he commanded the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that they would receive the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost. The world cannot receive that power, but the believers do. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Seth.
These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you in all things and bring to you, to your remembrance, all things that I said to you.
Amen. So just a quick note here. The King James says comforter. The New King James says helper. I did do a checking on that word, and helper and comforter work really well together. The same meaning. So, and we know that the Holy Spirit would teach us too. So comforter, teacher, helper. And so, who here in this room today loves to get gifts? Loves to get gifts? You love to get gifts? Well, that's good. Because the Holy Spirit has given us gifts. In James 4:17, you could just write that down. You don't have to turn there. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. And I will go ahead and read, if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. I'm just trying to lay a little foundation work before we get into the text today in 1 Corinthians 12. So Matthew 7, verses 7 through 10. I believe I've heard the pages stop turning, so I'm assuming everyone's there. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? So we know that God is much better Father than our natural fathers, right? So how much more so would God give us good gifts if we would ask of it? Ask. Knock. All right? In preparing for this teaching, I pondered as to why we do not see the things that have happened like they did in the book of Acts. Why don't we see those things today? Why aren't people getting healed by our very shadow like they would Peter? Amen. Why are these... have they ceased? Well, some people make the argument that we're in a different dispensation. And so I wanted to look at that word because it is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to ignore Bible words and words that are in the Bible just because it doesn't fit our view, right? So I looked up the word dispensation. Not even going to try to pronounce the Greek word on this one. I'm just going to read a little bit here. It says, the method or scheme according to which God carries out his purposes towards men.
Sorry, brother, I can't hear you.
The method or scheme according to which God carries out his purposes towards men is called a dispensation. They are usually reckoned three dispensations, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, or the Jewish, and the Christian. It's just a quick search I did on Bible Gateway, and There were so many stages in God's unfolding of purposes of grace toward men. The word is not found with this meaning in Scripture, though. It's a commission to preach the gospel. There's three verses that were given, 1 Corinthians 9:17, Ephesians 1:10, and Ephesians 3:2, Colossians 1:25. I'll read those off again. 1 Corinthians 9:17, Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 3:2, and Colossians 1:25. But I just want to say that this teaching is not about dispensationalism. And there is a hyper-dispensationalism that they just try to excuse away the fact that we're not seeing the operations of the Spirit like they've seen in the book of Acts. And I think it's just a lousy excuse. It's a lousy excuse. But today, like I said, they're known as hyper-dispensationalists who say we're not under the law. Some of them would say, oh, we're not under the law, we're under dispensation of grace. But, any true believer would go to Titus chapter 2 and we could see why the grace of God appeared unto all men, right? Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We know that Jesus gave us two laws. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbor as ourselves. There's the law of love, which we'll be talking about later. In the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. But, like I said, I think it's just rather an excuse. I believe the reason to be we don't see things happening like they did in the book of Acts is because of all the discord and division that we have today. We did not see things happening like they did in the book of Acts. There's a lack of praying, fasting, waiting on the Lord as they did in the upper room. Remember, they all came in one accord. Now, that'll be enough of me stealing Brother John's thunder for the book of Acts series. I'm pretty sure he's going to cover at least a portion of that. But I just wanted to touch on that because it's so important that we have unity in the body of Christ. And God hates discord. Does it mean that we agree on everything? No. Does it mean we have to divide? Well, sometimes there needs to be biblical division over something that's an absolute. But there certainly is a lot of doubtful things that people divide over today in the body of Christ. And so, I just wanted to touch on this real quick before we got into this, because the cessationalists, the ones that believe that the gifts of God have ceased, that we're in some kind of different dispensation. Of course, there's the preterist view of it too, that all Scripture has been fulfilled already, which we know we don't hold to in this fellowship. I've never taught it. Brother John McGlone's never taught it. And so, I really wanted to touch base on this next part here in 1 Corinthians 12, which we'll turn here momentarily. We could see, this is something that the Lord showed me years ago, that He wants us to find our identity and purpose for our lives. People either will identify with the world or with Christ. It's one or the other. You will either identify with Jesus or you will identify with the world. There's no in between. And we live in a nation today and in a world today where we're having an identity crisis. People don't even know what gender they are. Wow. Don't you see the devil is robbing people of their identity? He's robbing people of their purpose. And you youth in here, you younger ones here, and us older ones need to keep this in mind, that we need to learn who we are in Christ. Our strengths, our weaknesses. The devil wants to rob you. That is why these cessationalists, these that say that the gifts have ceased, they're being robbed of this precious resource, the resources that, that God gave us when he sent his Holy Ghost down, when they were in the upper room. It's important that we seek the Lord to find out what our own individual identity is. I can't do that for you. I can't, John cannot do that for you. I can't do that for you. Your mother cannot do that for you. You must seek the Lord individually. Seek his face. Knock. Seek. Ask. God wants to equip each believer with gifts. And that will be the purpose for us, to be a help to the body of Christ. The devil, on the other hand, he wants to rob you of that purpose so that he can use you for his evil plans of destruction. Worker of righteousness or worker of iniquity, which is it? The gifts of the Spirit are given to us as weapons as well. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. If you want to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. If you want to go ahead and turn there. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I did a little homework here myself. In verse 6, we see the word revenge. In the King James, in the New King James, you will see the word punish. And so the Greek word for revenge, as listed in the King James Version, is ekdikeo, which means to punish. Meaning, In any thought come into our mind, we are to act upon it with vengeance, to punish it by bringing it captive to God. With our obedience to Him, surrender to Him, submit to the Lord, and resist the devil, and he will flee. James chapter 4. We have the power to overcome these thoughts that would want to be interjected by the devil and by the world. And you'll notice that it says, having in a readiness. How do you have the readiness to bring these thoughts captive? It's really simple. Get in God's Word.
Amen.
Wash yourself in God's Word. The devil will come against you. Every time the devil came against Jesus, he said, "It is written." He used the written text. And we have that same written text we have from Genesis to Revelation. And we'll always, if we're always remaining in the chastisement of the Lord, we'll always be ready to bring, have the readiness to bring these thoughts into subjection and punish them with our obedience to God. I hope that clarifies that. We're walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. You could read about that in Romans 8, and as well as Galatians 5, which we will look at Galatians 5 a little later in his teaching. And also to say that the gifts, any of them, have ceased is robbing ourselves of these precious resources, like I said before, to combat the enemy in our lives. That we must pray earnestly to receive these precious gifts that God wants us to have, but not to pray for them selfishly. It's no wonder why the devil wants us to believe that the gifts have ceased or distort them.
Right.
That's why Paul gives us a clear picture. In 1 Corinthians 12, the chapters 12 through 14. And we'll get to the main text now. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And right here in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Ding, 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 ding. Right there. It's like 1 Corinthians 6:9. "Be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Don't be ignorant. Who wants us to be ignorant? The devil. He wants to rob you. He doesn't want you to tap into the power and resources that Jesus sent through the Holy Ghost. He says, "I send you the Comforter, the Helper." And if the devil can rob you of this, he'll rob your identity in Christ. Because just as much as God has a purpose for each and every one of us, the devil has a plan for us too. And one thing God told me years ago, he said to me, he says, "My purpose for you is greater than any plan that the devil has." Praise the Lord. We don't want to be ignorant. And in verse 2 it says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Because remember, the Holy Ghost came to convince, to convict man of sin, righteousness, and judgment. "Now there are diversities of gifts." Verse 4. And here we can see, before I'm going to read this text, we see Paul is providing an outline. He is providing an outline right here in the verses. Verses 4 through 6. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." That's the Holy Ghost. The Spirit gives us wisdom and revelation. "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." That would be Jesus. Jesus is the administrator. And verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God." That would be the Father, "which worketh all operations in power." So God is overseeing it. Jesus is the administrator of it. The Holy Ghost gives it. It's a clear outline that Paul provided right there in the verses. When I was reading this, I says, "Wow, this is the outline right here. This is a great outline." And there are, and verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." You notice that it says right there, it's to profit withal. It's not for you, for yourself alone. It's for the body of Christ. To exhort on one another, love on one another, correct where correction needs to be brought. It's to profit everyone. The gifts are for edifying one another. We know that Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 17 again, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Hallelujah. And then verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." You see in the theme here, it's saying the same Spirit. The word Spirit we would know as the Holy Ghost. "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as He wills. The He right here is the Holy Ghost. He is the one that wills you to have this gift or for you to have that gift. And how are you going to know this? You'll be seeking God for it. It says in that psalm, Brother Daniel, Russ, maybe you can help me with the quote here, to delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you know which psalm that is, brother?
Yeah.
You don't have to look it up. If you just give us the address, you're going to look it up. Great. That's great too. But if you're seeking God and you're seeking after His kingdom, if you're delighting yourself in Him, He's going to give you the desire.
Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of that heart.
So the Holy Spirit...
37:4.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We know we must have a pure heart first, right? We'll be talking some more about that. And so one of the things I was noticing here, when Brother Paul here, at the beginning here, verses 4 through 6, he was laying out the Trinity too. Only he was laying it out almost in a reverse order, but there's a reason why he did that. Because this is... Once again, this is concerning spiritual gifts given by who? The Holy Ghost. And so if you look there, you can very clearly see the different roles of the Godhead. As we firmly affirm to the Trinity. And once again, I'll remind you. Verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you be ignorant. We don't want to be ignorant of these things. Now, in the next several verses here, we're going to be looking at the different gifts while we are all one body. So starting in verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. We have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One. Not oneness. Not modalism. One Spirit. One body. Right? One God. For the body is not one member, but many. But if thy foot shall say, because I am not the hand, hey John, why aren't you a hand? Why aren't you like me? Why aren't you a foot? Hey Daniel, why are you not a nose? Why are you an ear? Why don't you stop it? little insert of humor there. If thy foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is this therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole was hearing, where would the smelling? But now if God set the members, every one of them in the body, as He hath pleased, as it had pleased Him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one, there's that word one again, body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, verse 22, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Like the stinky feet. The gospel feet that go out and preach. Nice illustration here, Brother Josh. Thank you. And so, let me get back here into my text. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these are we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, or lacked. That there should be no schism. There's a word. It means division. Another word for schism is division. Or another word for division is schism. There would be no schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. That's getting into the administration's part now. Verse 28. So, let me just do a... leave this here real quick. We see how that God... that even though we are all different gifts, that we are one body, not to be divided, but rather united. That is not what we are seeing today in the body of Christ. They could drive up the road here. How many different churches are you going to see? Or up the road that way, sorry. That way. You drive up the road. Yeah, whichever way. Yeah, how many churches will you see on your way to wherever you might be going? How many different churches will you see? How many different divisions and denominations today do we have? There's so much division. Yeah. 4 or 5?
Between here and Columbia.
Yeah, about 4 or 5. That's just here.
Oh, maybe there's 6.
There's 6.
6. Wow.
Flatwoods, too. Church and Flatwoods. Churches and Flatwoods. Oh, Independent Baptists, there's 2 or 3 of them down there, too.
Yeah, there's a lot more, I think, that we're not even seeing.
I'm
noticing with the leaves not being on the trees, I can see more as I'm driving.
More inside the woods.
Yep. So, you think about all those churches. Imagine if the body of Christ united today. Wow. I mean, don't get me wrong, there needs to be division when it comes to heresy, heretical teaching. Don't get me wrong. But to divide over Christmas trees and to divide over this or that, these doubtful things over the kind of food you might eat. Well, that man, he drinks coffee. I don't think I could fellowship with him. I mean, it's just silly. So I could just imagine, you know, that's why these, to say that the gifts have ceased, that's just an easy way out. That is the easy way out. But to try to dwell with one another and try not to divide over things and try to bear with one another and be long-suffering, we'll get into that in a little bit too. And in verse 28, I'll read that now as we're getting into the administrations of the body, which I'm really not going to talk too much about today. But it says in verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So yes, there is an order. Governments, that's order. There needs to be an order. Are all apostles? Paul asks. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Uh-oh. You mean not everybody speaks with tongues? That's another issue there. But I see that a lot of people think that you have to speak in tongues in order to be born again. Yeah, that's another issue. Do all interpret? And Paul says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. We can actually covet the gifts. Did you know there's a good coveting? That all coveting is bad?
All jealousy is not bad.
Right. Yeah, Paul said he wanted to make the Jews jealous, didn't he? A good godly jealousy. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a good coveting. Coveting the best. He says, covet the best gifts. Everybody likes gifts, right? I saw a lot of hands. I think I saw everybody's hand go up just about. Everybody here seems to like getting gifts. That's good. But Paul says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know, Paul leads us into the most popular chapters in the Bible. The love chapter. This verse right here just sets it up. He's like setting up for the spike, right, Josh?
Yeah.
He's setting up for the spike. Amen. Now, one of the things, too, I just want to say is we need revelation to know what to do. We need power to do it. Brother Daniel and I were talking about this on Friday. We need revelation. The Holy Ghost gives us the revelation. We need the power. And we need inspiration to go and do it. It's nice to have these gifts. But what do we do with them? They're not for us. Ourselves. They're for spiritual warfare. But they're also for the body. To support one another. Love one another. Pray over somebody. Right? We need the inspiration to go do it. Here's the question for you all. Why do we do it? Why? What is the intention? You got an answer, Brother John?
Yeah, for the love and glory of God.
There you go. I would say Paul definitely shows us a more excellent way in the next chapter. And Brother John set the spike. And here comes Brother Paul. One of the most popular chapters in the Bible, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, when we're out in the streets, man, there'd be people coming up quoting parts of this chapter. Oh, you're sounding trim, sounding brass, and oh, you're just out here making noise, and right? Where's the love, right? Well, one of the things that we need to know about this love chapter is that it's not this love chapter. One of the things I want you to really, when we're reading through this, I want you to look at one another while we're reading through this. This is about the love of the saints and the body of Christ. Everything Paul was talking about, I will show you a more excellent way. If we could just grasp this today, this one thing that is for the body and for the edification, and it's to help us and to help one another. Just trying to catch your... So in verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I want to ponder on this for a moment here. I heard a good sermon by Pastor David Wilkerson. He's passed on. I believe he's in glory right now. I really would like to try to find this sermon again. It was really good, And he was talking about, in his sermon, about how Paul purposed himself to write the gifts chapter, insert the love chapter, and then go back into the gifts in chapter 14. How he just inserted it in between purposefully. Just like I said, Paul is purposefully laying it out in verses 4 through 6 about the Trinity there. It was like an outline of what we're talking about today. And so in David Wilkerson's sermon, he said that that without love, also known as the fruit of the Spirit, we are just a clanging cymbal. David Wilkerson correlated the priest's robe that we'll read about here real quick here in Exodus chapter 28, verse, Brother Daniel Rusk. You would read from Exodus 28, verses 31 through 35.
31 to
35. Yeah. And you'll see what David Wilkerson was drawing a conclusion here between what he's going to read and the gifts of the Spirit and why, how we're not to be clanging cymbals as the sinners on the street like to say, oh, you're just a clanging cymbal. Where's your love? Bang, 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 bang. Clang, clang, clang.
And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram, and the bread that is in the basket, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. And if aught of the flesh of the consecrations or
is that chapter 28, brother?
Wow, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You scared me. I thought I had the wrong verses.
28, 31 to 35, right?
Yeah. Is that right? Maybe I got the wrong reference. I apologize if I
didn't. No, I did have the wrong page. I'm sorry. My bad. Okay. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. That makes a lot more sense. And there shall be a hole in the top of it. In the midst thereof, it shall be of a binding woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. It shall be upon Aaron to minister. His sound shall be heard when he goeth into the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not.
Right. So here you see bell, pomegranate, fruit of the Spirit, bell, fruit of the Spirit, bell, fruit of the Spirit, bell. The bells aren't clinging against each other. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to be talking about here in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. And I just wanted to show you that correlation that he made. I thought it was great, great way he broke that down. We are not just a clanging cymbal, right? And we could see the robe had a bell, fruit, bell, fruit, bell, fruit. And of course, those bells were on their robe, because while they were walking around the Holy Holies, if the bells stopped, it's possible that God struck them dead because of sin. So we're not going to talk about that so much, but I just wanted to touch on that real quick. For the fruit of the Spirit versus the flesh is given in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, Brother John, could you please read that? Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26.
All right. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Would you want me to read through, brother? 26?
All the way to verse 26, please.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Notice how it says temperance. One of the words is temperance, where Paul is talking about how the body needs to be tempered together, the body of Christ. It just popped out the page right now at me. And so we see the fruit. You notice how it's a singular word there, fruit. I've come to the conclusion that the word fruit is singular there, even though you see multiple fruits. That if you're lacking in one of these, you will lack in all. And so it's really important that we would not walk after the desires of the flesh, but after the Spirit, therefore having the fruit of the Spirit. And so let's go back into 1 Corinthians 13. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love or charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. Does some of these things sound familiar? We were just reading from Galatians 5. Love suffereth long and is kind. And charity envieth not. Does it say that not to envy one another in Galatians 5? It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I'm better than he is. I'm a foot and he's a hand.
To vaunt is to lift yourself up.
Yeah. Puffing yourself up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Wow. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This is why the world cannot receive the Spirit, because they're not rejoicing in the truth. They are rejoicing in their iniquity. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he who endures till the end shall be saved. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now, that sounds like a little contradiction there. Wasn't I just saying that the prophecies and the gifts of the Spirit and all this stuff are still for today and not having ceased? You hear Paul saying it will fail? Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. Also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three, But the greatest of these is love. Can't you just love people? Well, what is love? Well, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's the kind of love, too. So, going back to verse 8 real quick. The cessationists used that verse there. Oh, see, the prophecies have failed. So I wanted to look at this because I wanted to be very careful. The Greek word for fall or fell is ekpepto. I know I'm not pronouncing that right. But it's not true that prophecies would fail, but rather fall off. In other words, once the prophecies are fulfilled, eventually there won't be any need for the gifts. We'll be with the Spirit. We'll be with the Father. We'll be with the Son. So eventually they will. And of course, Paul is making a progression here. When I was a child, he's using the analogy of being a child and putting away the childish things. And eventually we'll mature into what? Well, we'll mature into spiritual beings. We'll be with Christ forevermore. If we endure. Like it says, love endures, right? Endures all things. And Paul draws a comparison in verses 11 and 12 of being a child and then putting away childish things and seeing in a glass darkly. These are all, he put these all together. But they will cease when we are in the kingdom of God. That's when they will cease. They have not ceased yet. Remember, the God, Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts of and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't repent about it. He hasn't repented about giving these gifts. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where it says, and God repented. Like he did in the Old Testament, right? I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where it says God repented of giving them the gifts. And he ceased to give them.
Can I make a point there real quick?
Yes, sir.
In that 1 Corinthians 13:10 passage, excuse me, where it's talking about in that which is perfect is come, I first heard a pastor preached that from the pulpit, that's talking about God's word and it being completed in 90 AD, and at that time all the gifts ceased and now we have God's word and so we don't need the gifts anymore. And so that's how the cessationists will set up a foundation based on a part of a verse. Which is obviously disproven by other verses, but that's where you get a stronghold based on a partial verse.
Right. Well, I would ask the cessationalist, well, why does Paul continue to talk about it in the next chapter then? Why, you know, I'm laughing about it because I've had these discussions before. It's like, why does Paul keep talking about it? I mean, I went through this when I was going through doctrines and the doctrine I've been taught back in the day. I wanted to make sure that I was believing and what I was believing was correct according to Scripture, according to the foundation which we build it on, which is upon the Word of God. And so I wasn't ready to throw away what God had given me. So I kind of put it on a shelf for a little bit till I could study it more and get some better understanding of it, because I'd been taught so many other lies, like we sin every day and God doesn't see our sin, he only sees Jesus, kind of garbage. And so I wanted to make sure that what I was being taught was correct concerning this. And I believe, like I said, I believe the gifts are for today. They are not to be used just for ourselves. They're to edify the body of Christ. Without these gifts, it's no wonder there's so much division. Wow. And so, you know, of course, the greatest of these is love. Going back to love. Gotta love. I'm just going to, for time's sake, I'm just going to read John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. You can write that down. A new covenant, or a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And we are not to love the world, we are to love one another. Because we know that the love of the world is the lust of the world. And of course it says, rejoice not, it rejoices not in iniquity. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. If you want to write that down. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Wow. We'll abide forever. So this love is so important. When we look at 1 Corinthians 13, we can see clearly that this is not the same love that the world has. Let me say that again. This is not the same world that the love has. Remember I was talking about earlier about identity? The world is an identity crisis today. Oh, love is love. No. Love is not. Your love is not love. That is lust.
Right.
You weirdos. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Right? That's the kind of love we have. We want to tell them the truth. Why? Because they're believing the lie. A woman believes the lie, and she's a guy. I mean, it's disgusting, right? We don't want that kind of love. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 makes that clear. The world is full of lust, not love. Is it any wonder why we do not see these things happening like they did in the book of Acts? Just look at how folks have twisted the Christian living today. They've twisted it. They've messed it up. They made it into something that it's not. You know, one Bible verse we go over a lot in this fellowship is 1 Corinthians 11:31, where it says we need to judge ourselves. Judge yourself. Are you displaying the fruit of the Spirit, or are you displaying the flesh? James 4, 1 through 3, I'm going to read this, because we're getting out of time here. Probably past my time, ain't I?
Getting close.
James,
the Lord leads you, brother.
Amen. James 4, 1 through 3, for whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of the lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And then when you do ask, you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Wow. Is there any wonder why we're not seeing this stuff today? So ask yourself today, why do I desire these gifts? Do I want to consume them upon myself so I could go start a ministry and be on television and blow in the microphone so people fall over? Or is it to be an encouragement to the body of Christ? Love or lust? Which is it? Remember, when it comes to these three things that abideth, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Amen. And also remember that God judges the very intents of our hearts, our motives. He knows. That's why the Holy Ghost is the one that does the distribution of the gifts. Not me, not Daniel here, not John, not Joshua. The Holy Ghost is the one that distributes, because He knows the intent of the heart. And He knows who fits what. He sets the order. Decent and in order, right? And also remember that God judges the very intent of our hearts, our motives. Even if we start out with a pure motive, there will always be temptation to pervert our intent. Let me say that again. Even if we start out with a pure motive, the devil's going to claw at you. He wants to pervert you. There will always be a temptation to pervert our intent. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Why are we not seeing the move of the Spirit today like in the book of Acts? Where's the love, I would say? Where's the unity? Why so much discord? Why so much false division? Well, that guy, he preaches hard. That guy's not. Well, he lost his anointing because he's just said that word. Come on. I put away the childish things Paul said. Amen? First Peter 2, 1 through 5. I just want you to write these down. I'm going to read them off. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are lively stones, are built up upon a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Living stones, right? That's the name of our fellowship. Good name. We're living stones. We complement each other. Hey, like a puzzle. Are all the puzzle pieces the same? How would that puzzle fit together if they weren't different? Romans 12. I'm going to give you guys that for homework. Romans 12. And read that on your own time. We see Paul describing what holy living should look like and the operations thereof. 1 Corinthians and Romans 13 and Romans 12 and Philippians 2 are very similar. I'm not going to read them for time's sake. I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 13 again. Go and read Romans 12 and Philippians 2. They're very similar. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The gifts of the Spirit are for today, as they were for the apostles of old." I will conclude on that. Next week we'll be getting into 1 Corinthians 14. Praise God. Paul does a wonderful job of laying this out for us right here. And as I was reading and preparing for this week, my heart was very heavy about these things because of this division and discord that's amongst the brethren. I'm always praying for unity. I've been praying for unity since the 90s. Seeing disunity even back then. Didn't understand it. I still don't completely understand this discord and division that we have today. The devil's at the head of that, though. Certainly isn't the Holy Ghost. So examine yourselves, judge yourselves, seek God. These are wonderful gifts that He's given.